birthdays that we didn't get to sing to this morning because they were downstairs. I guess Christy, did you have? Was it Christy or I know Penny had one. Christy Runyon, they had. Okay, so let's sing "Happy Birthday." Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And Dan and Angie, we sung to you last time you were here, right? And both of you were here at the same time. Okay, so we'll make sure I didn't miss it. Anybody else who had a birthday, anniversary, bar mitzvah? No.
Amen. Good evening. Let's pray. Father, we come to you, and we do invite your sweet Holy Spirit to be here this evening. And Father, we ask you to be in control of this service. We pray for the comforting part of the sweet Spirit of God. Lord, that all of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, we ask you for every one that you would touch us and comfort us and guide us and keep us. Lord, give us the peace that passes all understanding. And Father, we pray also for the correcting hand of the Holy Spirit, the convicting. And Lord, we ask you tonight that you just minister to our needs. Just settle down upon us. Lord, help us to leave and say, boy, it's been good to be in God's house and in his presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Good to have some visitors over here this evening. And good to have y'all back. Let's remember our Tuesday evening men's prayer. Keep that in mind. I do want to meet with the board just a few minutes after the service in the Sunday school class tonight. If you can, I'll try our best to keep it very brief. Remember our midweek service, and then our Youth Sunday next Sunday. Be much in prayer for it, and then our back-to-school cookout for all of our young folks Sunday evening. So keep this in mind. Be much in prayer for each of these. And I meant to this morning, and I just forgot all about it. I was all wound up. I do want to thank everyone for praying for me for the association meeting. As you see, I got through it. Didn't get hit with no majors or anything. And the Lord just blessed. And thank you for praying. I really felt the prayers when I got in the pulpit. I really, really did. You can, if you know what I mean, when you can really feel them. And I had a peace and a very much freedom to preach. So, and since you all did so good that time, I'm going to ask you to do it again. I'm going to be preaching Limestone's Homecoming next Sunday morning. So I want you to, if you will, be much in prayer as we go there. And we're excited, but I hate to be away from here. I'm just going to miss you guys. But we be much in prayer for next week's services. And is there any other announcements? The sign-up sheet in the back for the food for the fellowship next Sunday evening. So remember that. Any others? Then remember also with anyone with any church history, write it down. And you'd be better to give it to Janice or Wilma than me, but you give it to me, Janice, Wilma, one of us, or B. One of them three would be a lot better. I'm liable to lose it before I get out of the pulpit. Is there any others? No, that's been postponed. We'll be getting someone else. We want to going to go to the Lord in prayer, remembering all of our requests. Brother Ray read the list off in the prayer room. So remember all of our requests, and then we'll take any special ones you may have. This coming week. He's had trouble with his ears quite a bit, hasn't he? Remember Cooper, any others? Missed you all. Amen. It's good to get away, but it's always good to get home. And Going to mention too, you know, when God's not welcome somewhere, that's the devil's heyday. And God's not welcome in our schools, is according to our Supreme Court. And we, you know, we've not heard of a school shooting in a while. And that's just the thought that came to my mind. Let's pray for protection upon our schools and upon our children and upon our kids, because the devil, and just like as he gets in their minds and torments them and puts all kinds of crazy thoughts in young people's minds, and wow. Any others? Okay, well, all that will, let's come and gather around the altar. Brother Dan, would you lead us as we pray and sing?
Thank you for your blessings, for all your mercy and grace. All the blessings you give us, Lord. Fowler's schools across this nation and our children. Lord, we love you and praise you and thank you, Lord. Ask you for your touch upon Lord, help us. I pray for Logan. I pray for all of our teenagers. Lord, I pray for you. Lord, I pray for James Russell. God, you touch him, touch his mind. Lord, that you just be with us. God, you help us. Lord, touch our bodies. Be with us. Lord, help us. Guide us. Never let me let it go. Father, forgive us and cleanse us. Yes, Lord, help us. God, we pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. Pray, Lord, for our 60th anniversary homecoming. Lord, I pray, God, that we do the service here. I pray for James. Lord, just pray for your touch. Pray, Lord, for your guidance. Your help. Forgive us, Father, for our faith.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings. God, we're so thankful for you. Lord, for the way you bless this church. God, you bless us with finances. You bless us with people. You bless us with love. We're so thankful. And God, we just ask you to bless this offering, to continue to bless each one. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Words read, and I get the benefit of knowing the words where it could be a new song for me. It says, time after time, I went searching for peace, and so God avoided. I was trying to blame all my sin in my life on this world that I was in. Services, relationships, I stood and was done within. And all the while, someone was begging me to free me from sin. He was there all the time. He was there all the time. Waiting patiently and long. He was there all the time.
Thank you.
aren't you glad he's always there? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Does anyone else have anything on your heart this evening? I heard money can't make a, can't buy a dog's tail to wag. Amen. Oh, here we go. I like to get through one Sunday without talking about cats. Amen. Does anyone have anything? Thought about, got something on my heart this evening, but come, some of you singers, come prepared Wednesday and we might sing a little, have you a CD or something, or be prepared. Got a message on my heart this evening. Felt like the Lord placed and give me some good materials. And so I want to, if you would, stand with me back to Acts chapter 21. I want to read verse 13, 21, 13. I'd come up through 20 and we've had a break, so we're trying to get started back here in chapter 21. Verse 13, then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord." I want to share with you tonight, ready to die, ready to live. And this is a sobering thought and a sobering message about serving the Lord. Now we'll serve Him, but Paul said, everybody was going on and saying, you don't need to go to Jerusalem. The Bible even said he's prophesied. It was a spirit. If you go to Jerusalem, he said, I'm not only ready to get bound in Jerusalem, I'm ready to die. Now, there's being settled. Not a lot of folks are settled with that issue. I've had a friend said, I don't mind dying. It's the cross that I dread. Associate with that. I don't have no fear, but it getting there, and I really dread. But let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for this subject and the peace that we can have through the valley of the shadow of death. Thank you for the peace that can only come through the one that's conquered death. Lord, that if I trust in you and I have died with you, then I'm going to be resurrected with you. And that ought to give me a peace, victory over the last foe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. A little bit of review in chapter 20 and verse 22. This was before Paul. This was Paul's third missionary journey, and this was right before he packs up to come, and when he's over telling everyone bye, and they're just having a rough time. In verse 22, it said, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." And he said, in other words, I'm taking to this. He said, it don't matter what's going to happen in Jerusalem. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. See, that's what gives you that peace that Joanne just talked about. You know, you can buy all the beds you want to, but the peace to sleep in it is a different story. That comes for being settled and ready and convinced. Amen. In verse 37 and 38 of this same chapter, and as he was going and he come back, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. They accompanied him unto the ship. This was Paul's last trip. And they done and said that this will probably be the last time that I ever see you until we get to glory. And they were crying, and they were hugging each other, and but Paul knew and was settled. Now, I didn't know, I figured that the Lord would stir me in this way in a few minutes, but he's already stirring me, so I'm going to go ahead. And we've had a little bit of time with some folks that we love so dear. There's a couple ladies sitting right over here, but it's been a blessing to this church. And we love them dear. And they love us dear. In all possibility, they're going to go home here before long. And God give us a little bit of time together. And I think we ought to cherish that time. And it'll be heartbreaking to see them go. But they won't be suffering over that. They won't be the pain. They won't be the treatments that makes them so sick. But there we wait on us. Amen. And this is a hard part, and just as the Apostle Paul here, that they were so tore up in it, they loved him so much. And he told them that you probably won't get to see me no more in this life. See, that's something that we really don't like, isn't it? It's the final here in this life. But in order to truly live, we've got to come to a place in our lives where we are ready to die. We got to be ready to die. And maybe I shouldn't say this, but Sister Kathy is as or the most settled in this as anybody I've ever seen. She is settled. And actually longing and ready to go. See, we've got to be to that point. We like a used to sing a song when I was a little boy. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And that's the way that we are. Yeah, I want to go to heaven, but I'm not ready to load up on the next load. But we have to be to a place to where we have to be ready. If it's during from service, we have to be ready. How can we get to that place to be ready? Well, first of all, that we'll see that when God seals the deal, we'll be ready. Verses 4 and 5 in chapter 21 says, and finding disciples, let me tell you, now Paul, and they are loaded up, and he's heading back to Jerusalem. He's heading back. And this, in these verses here, and starting at chapter 21, is on their trip back. And they're making it, and they stop a couple places, and they're on their way. And this is where Paul is, heading to Jerusalem to on his third missionary journey, finaling this up. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that we should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. There was a Argentinian evangelical pastor was born again when a psalm book he was holding deflected a bullet at close range and saved his life. He'd give his life, his soul to the Lord, and give his life to the Lord. You know, it's better to be in God's will than any kind of a security program. It's better to be sold out, and I know that I've said this so many times, but when we're in God's will, it's the safest place that you'll ever be. Daniel, perfect example. The safest place in the world in that lion's den, in God's will. There's not a soul in the world could have got to him. The three Hebrew children, there's not a soul could have got to them in them flames. The safest place. No matter if it's fire, no matter if it's lions, it's no matter if it's an electric chair, it's no matter if it's a hangman's noose, it's no matter if they're going to behead you. That's the safest place that you'll ever be if you're in God's will. Amen. And see, we're not persuaded by the voice of reason. And these folks, it said through the Spirit, and this is a confusing passage. There's a lot of different thoughts, and a lot of people says, why in the world is God's will for Paul to go to Jerusalem so he could get sent to Rome? And they tell, I believe it was a prophetic warning. Paul had said over here in 20, I don't know what waits me at Jerusalem. Here, he's getting a little glimpse. Here now, they're telling him, maybe you shouldn't go. A little later on, he's going to get a little more. But I think no matter what folks around us say, that it's important that we get settled in God's will in our lives. Now, if I heard things right, I didn't run to that cowboy church that's right down the road from us. We run to take the girls there to Bible school yesterday, and they're starting a church in their basement. And Rhonda can correct me if I'm wrong, but she listened to their website the other night, and if I'm not mistaken, I heard that preacher say that. Is that better, Brother Ray? I didn't have it turned on. If I heard him say there was someone else told him that he needed to get out of that basement and be in a church somewhere. Is that not right? And he needed to be involved somewhere else and not in that basement. And they were trying to encourage him. And he said, that's not what God called me to do. God called me to start a church in my basement. He better be in that basement then, if that's where God's calling him. And we get a lot of advice along the way. I had a guy tell me one time early in my walk that I committed my life to the Lord, and he was a different denomination, and he said, how in the world did you ever get hooked up with a bunch like that? Talking about the Free Will Baptist. I said, wow, I didn't know that we was that far out there. And we'll get all kinds of advice. And a lot of folks will tell us what we need to do and what we don't need to do. But I'll tell you, what we need to do is what the Lord tells us to do. When He'll call you, He'll equip you. If He sends you, He'll prepare the way and the money to get there. Amen. Second all is when God's voice determines our choice. In verses 8 through 11, the Bible said, and the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. They had landed on the Mediterranean Sea, just up out of Palestine. Now they were coming down, and next day, Paul's company departing came to Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven, which was one of the seven that abode with them.
And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now Paul's seeing the picture a little more clear. He's gone from, I don't know what Jerusalem holds, to, well, Paul, maybe you ought not go to Jerusalem, to the man that owns this girdle is going to be bound in Jerusalem. You ever had God reveal stuff to you? You ever had Him to open up your mind and your intellect and your heart and speak to you and prepare you for some things that's ahead? That's what He was doing here for the Apostle Paul. See, when we open ourselves to prophets and prophecy, we get God's will determined in our lives. You notice these four prophetess, the women, they prophesied, but when God wanted the message sent to Paul, who'd He send it by? A prophet Agabus, a man. Now, this is not popular, but I still think the gospel is to be preached out of the pulpit by a man. Amen. Ordained ministers are to be men. We hear God in multiple ways. He speaks to us through songs. How many has had a song to bless you and touch your heart lately? Amen. Hey, aren't you glad the good old gospel song? God just speaks to us. He speaks to us through His Word. He'll speak to us just through the Holy Spirit. He'll reveal stuff to us. But He'll speak to us through friends. He'll speak to us through circumstances. And there's some things just the way that He moves. And He moves through our lives. And are we hearing God today? Are we listening? See, I'm afraid, you know, I preached a message several months ago about listening, Spirit-filled listening. Sometimes we just don't listen good. That's a problem Rhonda says I have. I hear, but I don't know it. Just don't register. She says it's selective. I think I've got a problem somewhere, but probably being a man, ain't. But our devotion, and then another way is how we get to that place is when our devotion overcomes emotion. Now, I'm an emotional guy. I know you all find that hard to believe. But I'm pretty emotional, and it's all right to be emotional. But we cannot be controlled by them. I don't want my emotions controlling my actions. I get in bad shape real quick. It ought not control us. Greg Laurie said, being not sincere is like watching a military parade. That looks okay, but that's not going to get the job done. And when we are to be, allow God to move and be, it's in our devotion that we're devoted to the things of God. We're devoted to the work of God. We're devoted to the house of God. We're devoted to the things of God. We're devoted, devoted, devoted. Being devotion is better than emotion. Devotion, I'm here Sunday morning. I'm here Sunday night. I'm here Wednesday night. Emotion is I'm here when I feel like it. Amen? Emotion won't get you up on Monday mornings to make it on time to go to work. Devotion will. Amen. Is that all right, Tim? Is that right? He'll need some help getting up in the morning. You better have that devotion set in, hadn't you? And I'm afraid there's so many folks that goes through their Christian walk depending upon emotions. Now, I'll jump as high and shout as loud as anybody. But it's the devotion that gets the job done. Thunder's impressive, but lightning gets the job done. Amen? Lightning's where the power comes from. That thunder might scare you. It might be like the little woman said, guy coming around selling lightning rods. She said, I'm not scared of lightning. It's a thunder. He said, I got thunder rods for $10 more. Another way as we get ready is when we follow others' examples. See, Jesus overcame his feelings. What did he say in the Garden of Gethsemane? Lord, is there any other way? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine. He overcame the feelings in his heart. And sometimes we've got to overcome. Sometimes, can I just be brutally honest with you? Even now, as I'm a pastor, hey, sometimes I just don't want to come to church. I mean, I feel bad, don't feel good. You ever have those days just where you... Were you losing? You're not having victory. And even a pastor these days. But I can't go on that. Amen. It's past that. It's what God wants me to do. He said, "What is it?" Paul told him. He said, "Be instant in season and out of season." When I'm in season's when you feel like it, and you're out of season when you don't feel like it. Do it anyway. Amen. See, I feel that way about shouting. Hey, sometimes I don't feel like praising the Lord and shouting, but I do it anyway. Amen. Do it anyway. We've got something to shout about. Amen. I'm way behind on my shouting, so if I shout when I don't feel like it, that's okay. I'm just catching up. Amen. 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 It's all right to kick your leg and say, well, glory. Praise the Lord. Because I'm way behind on my shouting. I'm way behind on my praising Him. He's been so good to me, Brother Dennis, far more than I could ever thank Him. Far more than I could ever praise Him. Far more than I could ever lift my hand up to Him in the air. Because He's been so good to me. I can still get up in the morning. I can still eat, feed myself, and put my own clothes on me. I mean, I'm way out there, but I'm still in my right mind. Amen. Some people wouldn't thank Him for having the mind I got, but I do. Praise the Lord. Isn't He good to us? Glory, hallelujah. I'm kind of like, what's his name, Aaron Wilburn? He says... He tells him jokes. He said, I'm in bad shape. He said, don't pray the Lord to heal me. That it's how I make my living. See, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7. A prophet of the Lord said, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. What's one thing about a flint? They're pretty hard, ain't they? He said, I've set my face like a flint. I'm set. I'm settled. I'm ready. I'm going. It don't matter how I feel. It don't matter what happens. It don't matter what comes my way. It don't matter who's going to haul me off to jail. It don't matter who's going to cut my head off. I'm settled. I'm set. And I'm going on. And what is it there, the last thing he said? Because I know that I shall not be ashamed. Amen. That's one thing I don't want. I don't want to be ashamed. When the Lord comes back, I don't want to be doing something I should not be doing. And I don't want to be slumbering around when I ought to be working. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Who's a good example? Look unto Jesus. A good example. Endured and went and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And the fifth one is when we experience freedom. Some people is not really alive, not really living. It's been said a person that's not willing to die for something is not really living for anything. I heard a story years ago of a little over in Russia or somewhere, one of these countries. There was church they were having to hide in a basement to have church. As they was having a service, that the guards come in on them, and they had a picture of Jesus hung up back on the back wall, and the big guards walked in and they got them all gathered up, had the leaders of the church, and they took that picture and throwed it down and stomped on it and spit on it. And then they started making the church members, and started with the leaders of the church coming around one by one and spitting on that picture. Those leaders and those folks was making their rounds and spitting on the picture. And they started back the congregation, and there was a little girl come around, 10 or 12 year old. And they said she walked around that picture and seen it laying there. She started weeping and started crying. And she kneeled down and picked that picture up and tucked her little dress tail and wiped it off and held that picture in her heart and said, "Oh, I love Jesus." Well, that just tore everything all to pieces. Everyone that was left that hadn't spit on the picture, the guards told them, "Just get out of there." The little girl got to leave. The ones that spent on the pictures, they kept them. And they heard the shots ring out. They killed every one of them that spent on that picture. When one of those big guards walked out the door, he said, "A man that won't stand for what he believes don't deserve to live." And walked out the door. Amen. See, there's where it is. There's where the rubber meets the road. That's exactly the state that Paul was in. Take my life. Take whatever you want. I'm preaching the gospel. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me. Tonight, are you ready to die? Boy, what kind of message is this, preacher? Are we ready to die? Have you given your life to God? Are you ready? Are you got everything settled? Now, I want you to listen to this statistic. A survey found that 10 out of 10 doctors determine that everyone dies. That's an overwhelming statistic there, isn't it? See, eternity is real reality. We're in eternity already. We're living. Most of us won't die for a faith or in a war or for some cause. But the issue is we face is will we live or die to ourselves? dying to Tim is the hardest thing that I had to do. Dying to the flesh. That old rascal wakes me up in the morning. That old rascal, I'll fight him till I take my last breath. We want to say the devil is our worst enemy. I think our worst enemy is us. I probably have more trouble with him than anybody. See, will we die to our demanding and demanding our own ways? Will we die to wanting to be popular? Will we die to wanting to be noticed? Will we die to our spiritual laziness? Will we die to the distractions from God? Will we die to compromise with the world and sin? See, when we live deeply in the things of the Lord, we lose the fear of death. Amen? When it's settled and we've got it figured out and we've got it nailed down, we lose that fear. I like, in talking about heaven, so I like in the book of Ephesians, it said, we are made to sit in heavenly places. We don't have to die to experience heaven. Amen. Isn't that good? We're made to sit in heavenly places. God's got something far greater in store for us than we ever think. Mediocrity. He don't want us to be happy with it. And getting along as average. He said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. When we get to the place we are ready to die, we are ready to start living. Amen? Life is just getting ready to kick off. Just as much, or more so. How many's ever heard that old gospel song by the Cathedrals? Danny Thunderbird, I Just Started Living. Now, if that won't flip your switch and get you fired up, your wood's wet. I just started living. I found me a brand new life. Changed my direction. Took away all my strife. I'm a newborn believer with a holy infilling. I just started living. Glory, hallelujah. Is that your testimony as a Christian? We just started living. Praise the Lord. The things that we had known up to that point is gone away with. And we had just started a new life. We've just started a new path. We just started living. But can you wait till we step right on over? Woo! You talking about living in. D.L. Moody and some other folks have said, one of these days you'll open up the paper and it'll say that I'm dead. Don't you believe a word of it? I'm more alive than I've ever been. I've just started living. Glory, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. See, one of these days we're going. But I want you to listen to this. While I'm waiting, I'll serve you. I will worship you. We don't know what tomorrow will look like. But in the meantime, we'll just love and serve and worship the Master. Amen. Let's live it while we're here. Every single day, let's live it to the fullest. Joanne's brother said, you're one of her brothers, you say, you only go through this life once, you might as well go first class. Amen. Let's go through as abundant, living, spirit-filled, Bible-toting, devil-bashing, free will Baptist. Amen. I'd call you worse things than free will Baptist. Have we just started living? Amen. When we start living, we're ready to die. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for your blessings.
So thankful, God, for all your mercy and grace. Lord, I'm thankful tonight for this group of believers. And Lord, help us to live our lives. God, that like we don't know if we'll be here tomorrow or not. Help us to live our lives to the fullest. Help us to enjoy the folks that's around us. Help us to enjoy life. Not go around with a frown and gloom. Go around with a spring in her step and a smile on her face. Testimony on her heart and a song in her voice. Help us to be that witness. Help us to live, Lord, like you'd have us to. God, I'm so thankful for your blessings. Now, Father, if anyone needs a special touch this evening, I pray, God, you